Thank you, Mr. Boswell. Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath. We've all got Passover on the brain. It's getting close, isn't it? And we're told to be ready to give an answer for the faith that lies within us. And said another way, we need to be able to explain why we believe what we believe. Why do we do what we do? We're less than 2 weeks away from Passover, so I thought it'd be a good time to review why we keep Passover when we do. This is a question that comes up from time to time. The question typically is, should we keep a 14th Passover, 14th day of the first month, Hebrew month, or the 15th day of the first month? This year, all baptized adults will be here the night of April 14th. By coincidence, that's the 14th day of the first month on the Hebrew calendar. Starts at sundown on April 14th. But if you were to look at your calendar at home, maybe that you got on the wall or maybe on your phone, normally it'll say that Passover starts at sundown on April 15th. So why is that? Where's that discrepancy coming from? Well, that calendar that's hanging on your wall or maybe on your phone, they're using the Passover for Judaism. Those who practice Judaism keep what they call the Passover on the 15th day of the first Hebrew month. But how does that line up with what's in the Bible? And how does that line up with how the ancient Israelites kept Passover? And how does that line up with how Jesus Christ kept the Passover? Well, the best place to start answering some of these questions is in Exodus chapter 12. So if you'll turn with me over to Exodus chapter 12, we'll get started, see if we can answer a few of these questions. Exodus chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse 1. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. So this is the very first time that God is instituting the Passover that we have recorded here in the Bible. The Israelites are getting ready to come out of Egypt. And these are the first instructions that we have about the Passover. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to him take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or of the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight.'" So God gives Moses and Aaron some instructions here concerning Passover and keeping time for years. You know, man's decided it's a good time to swap years in the middle of the winter, which doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. But God says, no, my year starts in the spring. And based on how the Passover falls this year, the first month actually started last night at sundown. So then God tells them to set aside a lamb by families and to go ahead and set it aside on the 10th day of the first month. And if the family was small and a whole lamb would be too much food for them, then to get together with their neighbor and share it and enjoy the Passover together. And the Israelites were to keep this lamb set apart until the 14th day of the first month, and they were to kill it in the evening, or as we just read, my version, New King James, said the twilight. So what does that word mean? Let's look at that word that's translated either evening or twilight in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 6. That word is Strong's H6153, and it means dusk, even, or night. And Vine says that this phrase, in the evening, would be more accurately translated between the evenings. And it specifically refers to the time between sunset and dark. We all know that time frame, right? You're out there, you're working in the yard, it's getting close to sundown, and then all of a sudden the sun goes down, and it, like the color of the sky just completely changes. It had that nice kind of orange color to it, and then all of a sudden the sun goes down. It seems like all at once you get this blue color, right? It's not dark yet, you can still see, but it's after sundown. And we see from the Genesis account that God starts a day in the evening. So evening and morning were the first day, right? That's what Genesis says. So when God instructed Moses and Aaron, he told them to keep the lamb until the 14th day of the first month and to kill it between the evenings, the time between sunset and total darkness. And that time only happens once each day, right? So this time that's identified here would be at the beginning of the 14th day of the first month. As the sun set, the 14th day of the first month was starting, and this is when everyone was to kill the lamb that they had set aside. Let's keep reading in verse 7. Exodus chapter 12, verse 7 now. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in the fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. So the Israelites got prescribed a whole menu for this night. They even got the cooking instructions, specifically roasted in fire. And they're also told to do something special with the blood of that lamb. The blood was to go on the lintel. That's the top part between the two doorposts. So the lintel and the doorposts. And the blood was to be a sign of a type of covenant that God was entering into with them. God would pass over the house if the blood was on the doorpost and the lintel. And the next place we see the blood of an animal being used in this kind of way is when the Israelites are entering into covenant with God at Mount Sinai. So Moses and Aaron are instructed to tell the Israelites to eat the lamb roasted in the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And there are also some instructions here about timing. They were told to eat the flesh in that night. So the Hebrew word that's translated in that is Strong's H2088. And it means this or that, but it can also be translated as the same. So we already established that each day has one night, and that's the beginning of the day. And the Israelites slaughtered that lamb on the 14th. So the only way that you're going to eat it in that night or the same night is on the 14th day of the first month. And the cooking method prescribed is roasted whole in the fire. This is probably for two reasons. One which points to the greater meaning behind Passover, which Mr. Betts was talking about earlier. And one which is more practical in nature. The first, the use of the blood on the doorposts and the lintel points to the sacrificial nature of the Passover. And sacrifices were to be made with fire. Second, the Israelites were trying to cook an animal that they had just slaughtered. Well, the quickest way to do that is to skip the cleaning that would be required for the other cooking methods. And just roast it in a fire, open. They were told to leave the head, the legs, the entrails, everything inside, just roasted in the fire. They're also told that if any of the lamb remains until the morning, that they needed to burn it. Well, that presupposes that they're going to be there in the morning to burn it. That morning would be the daylight portion of the 14th. We'll see why this must be the case in a few minutes, but for right now, let's continue on in verse 11. So Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days, excuse me, I want to stop there. These instructions that God was giving Moses and Aaron were instructions on how to eat this Passover and to be ready to leave Egypt at the same time. Now, normally, if you're going to be eating a nice meal at home, you like to get comfortable, right? Kick off your shoes, maybe. You know, if like last night for Natalie's birthday, I should have taken my belt off before we started eating, you know, to make room. But you like to get comfortable and settle in. Well, this is kind of the opposite. The instructions were the opposite. He wanted you to be ready to go at any point. The Israelites were preparing for a long journey and God wanted them ready to go. Moses had already told Pharaoh that after this next plague that the Israelites would be leaving. And these instructions were to make it clear to the Israelites as well that they would be leaving. See, they had seen 10 plagues. They kept being told that, hey, you're going to leave, you're going to leave. Well, now he's giving them these instructions because he wants them to know after this 10th plague, you are leaving. So then God tells them why they put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. The last plague is the death of all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, human and animal. And the blood served as a sign that would cause that plague of death to pass over that particular household. And again, this points to that sacrificial nature of the Passover, with the blood protecting those individuals from the plague of death. Ultimately pointing forward to what Christ would do for us one day. So verse 11 is the first time that God names this feast. And God says it's the Lord's Passover. The word translated Passover is the Hebrew word Pesach. Pesach is Strong's H6452. And the only time it is ever used is when it's referring to the Passover. It's the only time it's ever used. Pesach means an exemption, an omission, to leave undone, to let pass without mention or notice, or to suspend indefinitely. So by calling it the Lord's Passover, what God is telling the Israelites is that this feast is God's omission. God would be exempting, God would be omitting, and God would let pass without mention from the death plague all those who had the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts and lintel. So next, God instructs Moses and Aaron to tell the Israelites that this event is not just a one-time event. Passover was to be celebrated as a memorial to what God had done throughout their generations and on forever. Passover was going to be an annual event every year. And now as we continue in verse 15, we start to see a separate feast to be discussed. So Exodus chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day I will have brought out your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. So back in verse 11, we were introduced to that word Pesach. Well, here in verses 15 and 17, we're introduced to a new Hebrew word. And that Hebrew word, best I can tell from the transliteration, is pronounced matzah. I guess that's where they get the word matzo, or, you know, the stuff that you buy in the store. I guess it comes directly from that. And matzah is Strong's H4682, and it means sweetness or sweet in the sense of not being soured or bittered by yeast. And specifically, it means an unfermented cake or loaf. So when yeast is in bread dough, the yeast is eating all those glucose sugars that's in that dough, and it's making a waste byproduct of carbon dioxide. That's where that puffiness comes from. Well, when there isn't enough oxygen around, for example, in a liquid like grape juice, the conversion's not quite as efficient, not as complete, and you make carbon dioxide and alcohol. So here the Israelites are told to have another memorial, this time not for Pesach, but the matzah. And they were to observe the matzah because God was bringing them out of Egypt. So in contrast to the Pesach memorial, which memorialized God omitting them from the death plague, the matzah feast memorialized their leaving Egypt. Two separate things. The Pesach memorial focused on the lamb and the blood and that sacrifice. The matzah memorial focused on the unleavened bread. The Israelites were to eat unleavened bread with the Passover, but the two festivals are separate and shouldn't be confused. And God gives Moses and Aaron some additional instructions about removing leaven from their homes, not eating leaven and eating unleavened bread all 7 days of the feast. Moses and Aaron then call for the elders of Israel, and they begin to relay these instructions to them. So let's drop down to verse 21, and we'll get a little bit more information about the timing of all this. So Exodus chapter 12 and verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourself according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. So while Moses is giving the instructions that he received from God to the Israelites, he tells them they're not to go out of their house until morning. And the word morning is Strong's H1242, and it means dawn. So in order to be protected from the plague, not only did the Israelites need to put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel, but they had to stay put. They had to stay inside that house until the sun came up. And this would ensure that they spent the entire night inside their houses. The first time that they would have exited would have been the daylight portion of the 14th. And that's going to become important in a few minutes when we read some other scriptures. So the Israelites receive instructions, and the Bible says they bowed their heads and they worshiped. And then they went and they did what God commanded them to do. And they picked out their lambs on the 10th day of the first month. They kept it until the 14th day of the first month. They slaughtered the lamb. They put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. And they stayed inside their homes as they ate the Passover. As we drop down in verse 29, we'll pick up a little bit more of this story. It says, "And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive, who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, 'Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also.'" So Pharaoh's tune is a little bit different now. Each time Pharaoh wanted to be the one that set the terms of the Israelites leaving. At first it was, well, just the men can go, and it's like, well, okay, you can maybe some of the women, but leave the kids behind, and maybe a few goats. After this plague, he's not worried about setting the terms anymore. He just wants them out. And after each plague, you know, Pharaoh would have promised to let them go if the plague would just end. And every time that the plague ended, Pharaoh changed his mind. Well, he's not changing his mind after this time. He wants them out. Every household in Egypt had a death. Even Pharaoh himself, his son died. And now Pharaoh wants Moses to bless him on his way out the door. Now it says that Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron by night, but Moses had told the people not to leave their homes until dawn. So they would not have left their homes until dawn as well. Pharaoh may have called for them, but they didn't leave their homes. Now all the people had eaten the Passover. They were all packed up and ready to go. But as we're going to see, there's quite a few of them. And it takes time to get a mass of people that big moving. Let's drop down to verse 37. And we'll read verse 37 and 42. So Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. It says, "Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides children." Then drop down to verse 42. "It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations." So even though the people were ready to go, 600,000 men plus the women and children, that's a lot of people. And they were not allowed to leave their homes until dawn on the 14th. So all the Israelites assemble, and a mixed multitude, it says, went with them as well. And they start their journey out of Egypt from Ramses. The King James says, "It is a night to be much observed for coming out of the land of Egypt." And the Israelites were to memorialize the night that they went out from Egypt. So when did they go out from Egypt? Well, let's look at two more passages for that answer. The first is in Numbers chapter 33. So let's turn over to to Numbers chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. It says, "These are the journeys of the children of Israel, who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies, under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord." Well, isn't that convenient? That's going to help us out a lot. "And these are the journeys according to their starting points. They departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians." So Moses recorded all those journeys that Israel made. In his first recording, Israel going out from Egypt on the 15th of the first month. Now, we just read that after Pharaoh told the people to go out, 600,000 men, plus the women, plus the children, all began the journey. And here in Numbers, we see that that's on the 15th day of the month that they left out of Egypt. And that specifically says on the day after the Passover. That means that the Passover is on the 14th, right? And when the Passover should be observed. And that's important because of the next verse that we'll read as well. We're going to pick up one more detail in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 1. So Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 3. It says, "Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. That is the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life." So here in Deuteronomy 16, verse 1, we're told that they went out by night. And we just read that they went out on the 15th day of the first month. They're told not to leave their homes until dawn, after being told to kill the lamb at dusk on the 14th. They had to roast it and eat it in that same night, with shoes on their feet and ready to go on a journey. And they were leaving as fast as they could, but it takes a long time to get that many people moving. So the only timeline that fits together for all those details is the Passover being sacrificed just after sundown on the 14th, the Israelites eating the Passover on the 14th, the Israelites mobilizing during the daylight portion of the 14th, while the Egyptians were burying their dead, and then finally coming out of Egypt after sundown at the start of the 15th. So when Exodus 12 says to memorialize the day they came out of Egypt, it is talking about a second memorial on the 15th day of the first month, at the start of the days of unleavened bread. And that memorial is different from the Pesach memorial, which is on the 14th. That one memorializes God exempting them from the death plague. That second memorial on the 15th, that's why we keep the night to be much observed, taking the title directly from the words of the King James Version. We keep it at night at the beginning of the first day of unleavened bread on the 15th day of the first month. So what about Passover in the New Testament? When did Jesus keep the Passover? Well, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We'll start in verse 2. And we'll pick up a few verses here. Matthew chapter 26, verses 2 through 5. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. And they plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." So Jesus here is telling his disciples he's going to be crucified on the Passover. And the Jews, who want to conspire to kill him, they're getting ready to do that, but they don't want to do it on the feast day because they didn't want the people to revolt. Now, which day would cause the revolt? Well, the feast on the 15th, the first day of unleavened bread, that one had an explicit command to do no work on it. The Passover on the 14th didn't have such a command. So the Jews were trying to avoid crucifying Jesus on the 15th. So let's skip down to verse 17. Matthew 26, verse 17. "Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. And when evening had come, he sat down with the 12." Now, the phrasing in verse 17 seems a little bit contradictory at first, doesn't it? How can it be the Passover and the first day of unleavened bread? Well, the Passover was eaten with unleavened bread. You remember, we just read that in Exodus 12. So this was the first time that year that they would have been eating unleavened bread for that holy day season. And in verse 20, the word translated even is Strong's Greek 3798, and it means late or nightfall. And if you follow the events all the way through John, then you find that we're talking about one contiguous day from now until you come to John chapter 19 and verse 31. So let's turn over there. Skip over to John chapter 19. Read verse 31. John chapter 19, verse 31. "Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away." Mr. Betts was covering that they didn't do that to Jesus. They pierced his side with a spear. But this high day that they're talking about is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It wasn't just a regular Sabbath. That's why it's got that parenthetical statement about it being a high day. And the first day of unleavened bread is the 15th day of the first month, which means that Jesus Christ, he was crucified on the 14th. They ate that Passover after nightfall, after sunset. So Jesus Christ ate the Passover on the 14th day of the first month with his disciples. Now, Christ had a whole meal with his disciples, and then after the meal, he added the foot washing ceremony and the bread and the wine. So why don't we do that part? Why don't we have a whole meal? Well, Paul gives us some insight into how we keep the Passover together as a church. So let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20. "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." You know, the Corinthian church provided us a lot of teachable moments, didn't they? It's actually good for us. Bad for them, but good for us. And not the least of which is how they came together for the Passover. They came together to eat a meal like Christ did with his disciples, but in doing so, they didn't really come together. Instead of a nice meal where everyone kind of participated together, they allowed their human nature to take over. They served themselves first, some got drunk, and they lost the solemnity of the night. So Paul tells us that Jesus Christ instructed him that when we come together to take the Passover as a church, it's for the bread and the wine, and the foot washing would also be included in that. The blood on the doorpost as a symbol of protection from death moved to an internal symbol of consuming the blood through the wine, because it's inside that needs cleaning and protection. And the symbol of consuming the unleavened bread to put his character and his life into us. The symbol of the foot washing for the humility and the service that we're called to in this life. So when you put the scriptures together, here a little, there a little, the picture becomes quite clear that the Passover was kept by Israel on the 14th day of the first month. Jesus Christ kept it on the 14th day of the first month. And that's why we keep it on the 14th day of the first month.